You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week one in our series, Weekend Update, 3 days that changed the world. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's Pastor Sten with this week's message.
Hey everyone, welcome once again to Mid-Current. Honestly, so good to have you here today. Once again, whether you're here on site with us, it is so fun to see this place fill up. Whether you're tuning in online, man, we're really glad to have you here. If you are new or newer to Mid-Current in any way, this is quite possibly like the perfect time to be joining us as we begin here at Mid-Current, at least a three-week journey toward Easter, and we're also beginning along with that a brand new message series that we are calling Weekend Update. And here's the point of it all. Over the next 3 weeks, what I want to do is I want to pull the curtain back a little bit on the 3 days of Easter weekend. The 3 days that when they are all weaved together and stacked up back to back, I really believe changed the course of history. And so what we're going to do today is begin with the day that, quite frankly, I think is everyone's most favorite day, really, of any given week. It's the day that we wait for all the time. What is that day that we look forward to? Friday. Okay, that's it. It's Friday. In the deeply profound and poetic words of music sensation Rebecca Black, it is Friday. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Okay, if you're like 50 years or older and you're going like, who in the world is Rebecca Black? That's okay. A while back, a 16-year-old wrote the most ridiculous yet somehow wildly popular song about Friday. The whole point is this. We cannot get enough of Friday. We've even created, I think everyone may understand this, we've even created a little acronym to describe our feelings about Friday, TGIF. Thank goodness it's Friday. If you are even remotely close to me in age, you remember the slate of TV shows that ran on Friday nights, TGIF lineup. Friday, the point is this, is the day that we wait for all week long, and we don't ever want Friday to come to an end. And that's why I really love this song that Anna and the band just sang for us, because it speaks so perfectly to our love affair with Friday. But here's where this gets a little bit interesting. When it came to Friday of the very first Easter weekend, quite honestly, that there isn't a single person really on the planet who would have said that they were in love with Friday and what it is that actually ended up taking place on that day. We call that day in the church, we call that day Good Friday, which at first glance, when you really take it all in, it's a little strange. If you think about it, right? It's the day, this Good Friday, it's the day just after Jesus was betrayed by one of his best friends for a few pieces of silver. It's the day after he was arrested, seemingly without cause. It's the actual day that Jesus was then put on trial, sentenced to a death for a crime that he really didn't commit. It's the day that he was mocked and ridiculed and mercilessly whipped and flogged and tortured and ultimately murdered on a cross with a crown of thorns jammed onto his head, with his hands and his feet nailed to a wooden beam and his side pierced with a spear. Just to make sure he was dead. For every Jesus follower that lived at that time, there wasn't a single thing that seemed good about that day. Everything good in their minds died that day along with Jesus. Their excitement for who they believed this Jesus was, it all died. And their hopes and their dreams for a better world and for a brighter future that they might have thought was about to come true, it all died that day along with Jesus. Friday was, in fact, so bad in reality that the sun didn't even shine that day. In fact, one of Jesus' closest friends actually wrote down an interesting detail about that day. Look at what Matthew writes in the book that is named after him. In chapter 27, Matthew writes, "At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Okay, there are reports of earthquakes at the very moment that Jesus' spirit left his body. The greatest mountains shook and the strongest stones, the Bible even says, literally split into two. There's no way to really fathom what exactly it must have been like to be an onlooker that day, but somehow in my head, I imagine, and I know the scenarios are like very, very, very different, but somehow in my head, I imagine like some kind of like 9/11 aftermath kind of scene. There's just aftershock, there's chaos, there's uncertainty, there's confusion, there's horror, and there's disbelief at what exactly it is that just took place. In fact, Jesus's closest friends, the Bible tells us, his followers, people that had started to you know, follow him with their everyday lives, they scattered in fear, thinking that maybe quite possibly they'd be the next ones strung up on a cross. And so they scattered in fear and they went back to their homes and they locked themselves behind closed doors. Okay? All of this is more or less the scene of Friday. It was the scene on that Friday of what would eventually become what we know as Easter weekend. And so when you think about all of it, when you think about all that took place, it seems to me that the question really that any normal or logical person would be asking themselves is this: what in the world was so good about Good Friday? How is good a word that anyone would use to describe the horror and the tragedy of what it is that took place that day? And what in the world does it have to do with us? What does it have to do with you? And what does it have to do with me? I want to try to answer those questions for us today. And as we take a closer look at this kickoff, this Friday of this history-changing weekend, my hope is that we too would see how it is that Friday really did change everything for you and for me. The truth is this, as we get started here, in a very general sense, and we'll keep moving forward, but in a very general sense, what was good is that God was at work behind the scenes. In fact, he was the one kind of pulling the strings of this whole ordeal under the cover of all the darkness that seemed to be enveloping the entire situation. And many of Jesus's followers, those who lived, you know, at that time and lived in the aftermath of Jesus's death and ultimately his resurrection, many of them wrote about it. They wrote about what they saw. They wrote about what they experienced with their own eyes. And they wrote about it so that anyone who came after them would understand the real significance of what it is that took place. And so today I want to look at what one of them had to say about what it is that really took place that day. His name is Paul. We call him the Apostle Paul. He's one of the very first Jesus followers and leaders in the very first churches that began to form. And he wrote a letter to new Christians in the city of Rome. And he wanted them to understand what was really happening. And so he wrote a letter to them. And what he wanted them to understand, it's something that I want all of us to understand as well. What he wanted them to understand about what took place, I really believe it's something that someone here today, either on site or online, someone needs to hear it, and someone needs to understand it, and someone needs to believe it as well. Here's what Paul writes to them in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6. And I'm going to read it from a kind of a paraphrased version of the Bible. They call it the Message, which I think in this particular passage is going to really help us grasp what it is that Paul is getting at regarding what it is that took place that day. Here's what he writes. He says, Christ arrives onto the scene, in a sense, right on time. Arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready, right? To get ourselves ready, or to get ourselves cleaned up, or to, you know, get ourselves good enough or religious enough. He doesn't wait for us to get ready. Instead, he presented himself for this sacrificial death. Remember that term. He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. He's saying that at just the right time. Jesus gave himself up. He presented himself for this sacrificial death. What in the world does that mean? What is a sacrificial death all about? Well, here's the deal, Midcurrent. It's not super popular and it's not super attractive to talk about this in church today, but here's the truth. The Bible says that the wages of our sin is death. The penalty for all of the times when we miss the mark, it's death. The natural consequence for all the times when we strayed from God's instructions or from God's original design or from God's intention for all of humanity, the consequence for all the times that our relationship with God was broken because of what we did, the natural consequences for all of that is death, right? Someone's blood had to be spilled. There is a price to pay for that. Okay, for any fans of the Chronicles of Narnia, right, think of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Because of Edmund's betrayal and the deal that he, you know, makes with the White Witch, his life is now hers. Every traitor in Narnia belongs to her, right? The deep magic in Narnia said that Edmund's betrayal means that someone had to pay the price. Someone's blood had to be spilled. Okay, in a sense, the same is true with us. I know it's hard to think about, it's not all that popular, but our betrayal of Jesus, anytime we put anything else ahead of Jesus in our life, right? There's fame or pride or money or status or sex or jealousy or greed or bitterness or unforgiveness or Turkish delights, as it was for Edmund, right? Anytime that we turned away from Jesus and toward anything else, on that list or otherwise, right? The price to pay for all of that is death and its separation from God forever. And so much like Aslan did for Edmund when he took his place and when he made a deal with the White Witch, Jesus stepped in to take our place, to die a death that we deserve to pay. That's the sacrificial death that he presents himself for at just the right time. God says, no, you know what? I'm gonna pick up the tab on this one. God says, I'm gonna pay the bill that you all just racked up. I'll take care of it, okay? Let's keep reading. Here's what Paul says. And even if we hadn't been so weak, right? Jesus gave himself up because we were far too weak and too rebellious on our own. But Paul says, even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, and we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. Pay attention to this. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatsoever to him. Okay, folks, while we were still sinners, yet Jesus took our place. Jesus died in our place. A sinless man paid for the sins of the entire world. And here's the result. Paul keeps writing for us. Now that we are set right with God, that's what happened in this. We're set right with God. Now that we are set right by means of this sacrificial death, this blood sacrifice, there is no longer a question of being at odds with God in any way. Because until this, we were at odds with God because of the times when we missed the mark. And so we are not at odds anymore. We are not separate anymore. He goes on, if when we were at our worst, we were put on friendly terms with God by this death of his son, well, now that we are at our best, just think of how our lives will expand and deepen by means of his resurrection life. Folks, here's the deal. On our own, as I mentioned, on our own, left to our own accord, the reality is this. We are at odds with God because of the times when we misstep. We are at odds with God and we have no ability to do anything on our own to make it right. There's no amount of money we can give. There's no amount of Bible verses that we can memorize. There's no amount of old ladies that we can help across the street to get ourselves right with God on our own. But because of what Jesus did for us, we are now on friendly terms. Once again, set right with God. With the potential, did you catch this? With the potential for our lives to deepen and to expand even more so. And it was all made possible when Jesus took our place, when he got what we deserved, when he did for us what God knew we ultimately could not do for ourselves on our own. Midcurrent, much like the deal that Aslan made with the White Witch, okay? God made a deal with the devil, I suppose, on our behalf. He made a deal for you and for me. And so for you and for me and for every one of our friends and for our neighbors and for our coworkers, right? For all of us, there really is only one way to grade the deal that God made. It was a good deal for you and for me. It's the only way to grade that deal that he made. It was a good one. And that's why Friday was indeed so good. Yes, there was fear. Yes, there was confusion. And yes, there was sadness and darkness. But what this one day in history, I think, teaches us, it's this, that what seems to be the darkest hour in your life or in my life, what seems to be the darkest hour or moment or season, it very well may be the brightest. Right? For any person who had put any amount of hope in Jesus at that time, what seemed like it was the end, what seemed like this was the end of it all, this was the end of the line, truthfully, what was taking place is this was, it was only the beginning for all of them. And I think the same is true for you and for me. Because of Jesus, because of what happened on that seemingly very bad but ultimately very good Friday, because of it all, the darkest hours and the darkest moments in our lives could very well become the brightest. Right? What seems to be very, very bad could in fact lead to something very, very good. Okay? Now, do not misunderstand me here. Just because it might be good for you or for me, just because it might be good, it doesn't mean that it won't be hard, painful even. I mean, Jesus himself, he signed up for this. He kind of volunteered himself for this in a way. He willingly gave himself up for this moment. But even still, look at his response as he actually hung on a cross that afternoon. It says this, at about 3:00, Jesus called out with a loud voice. And here's what he says, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?" There's a good chance that Jesus' followers were feeling the same way, asking the very same question. My God, why have you abandoned me? And maybe you're here today asking the very same question too. Maybe your world has gone dark. Maybe the colors in your life right now are black and blue. And you feel bruised and alone and hurting and confused and lost. The truth is, friends, Fridays are a part of everyone's story. They are the horrible, the terrible, the no good, the very bad days. These are the days when the wind and yeah, sometimes even the very life inside of us seems to get knocked out of us. Fridays are a part of everyone's life and a part of everyone's stories. And I don't want to make light of anything that you might be experiencing right now or living through right now. And I don't want to give you the impression that I don't think it's a very big deal or that you're like somehow weak if you know you're having a hard go of it right now. That's not what I'm suggesting. But when we consider what it is that happened on that Easter Friday, my prayer for you and me is that we might see the Fridays in our lives as something more. My prayer for us is that we might see that the Fridays in our lives are actually, when we think about it, when we understand what's taking place, that we might understand that Fridays are actually just invitations for us to pull back the curtain, to dig a little bit deeper, to look just a little bit closer, and to look just beyond what it is that meets the eye on the surface. Because in addition to what it is that Jesus did for you and for me, here's what I think was happening. Here's what I think was true about Good Friday. Good Friday was the day for you and for me that darkness was redefined. Good Friday was the day for all of humanity, in fact, that darkness was redefined. Good Friday was the day that struggles turned into stories worth telling. Good Friday was the day that trials created testimonies. Good Friday was the day that hurt created the opportunity for healing. And Good Friday was the day that pain all of a sudden had a purpose. And so Mid-Current, when we are in the middle of our own Fridays, and trust me, they're going to come. They're inevitable. Maybe you've already experienced them. If not, I hate to say it, but they're probably on their way. When we are in the middle of our own Fridays, what if our response to the pain was less about relieving pain and more about using pain to wrestle more purposefully with the character and the will and the purposes of God? What if our pain could have a greater purpose too? What if my daughter's eye surgery at 5 weeks old, in all the subsequent years of wearing an eye patch wherever she went, having old men in grocery stores ask this little girl if she was a pirate, okay? Not fun for us or for her. What if all of that wasn't just a big dark cloud hovering over those early years of her life, but what if all of it was actually a gift from God to help Lucy develop a heart that could see others for who they really are and notice and celebrate and stick up for the people that were maybe just a little bit different? Sometimes we think that that's exactly the story that God is writing out of that moment. What if the early years of my life and in ministry, which if you've been around here, you've heard me talk about those at times, right? What if those early years of my life and ministry not ever feeling like I was hitting my stride or finding my place or in the right spot and wondering if all of it meant that I should just, you know, go work at Home Depot, okay? What if all of that wasn't just a big stain on my resume that somehow I had to make up for, you know, or try to explain or try to overcompensate for, you know, in every other year to come? But what if all of it was just a journey that pushed me to pursue God more and to become even more clear about his purposes and about his character and about his call on my life? Sometimes I think that's exactly what was and what is still happening today. And what if the same was true for you? I'm not about to suggest, nor would I ever suggest, that God ever causes the pain that you might experience, but you better believe that he will use it. Okay, so what if our response to the unfortunate circumstances in our life, what if our response to the unthinkable and the unfortunate divorce or diagnosis or the dark and lonely years or the loss or the setback or the heartache, what if our response wasn't just about relieving the pain, but what if it was instead about using the pain? What if it was about giving pain a purpose? What if it was more about using the pain to wrestle more and to pursue more wholeheartedly, more purposefully, the character and the will and the very heart of God himself? Folks, if I can be honest with you, I don't think Christians in America are very good at this. We're not. For most Christians in America, we care so much more about feeling better than we do about finding God. We care more about avoiding pain at all costs than we do about being refined in the fire. And I think that Good Friday, the very first day of this Easter weekend, I think it's our invitation to flip the script and to finally get this right. The Bible says that for the sake of the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. For the sake of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He shouldered the blame. He embraced the pain for you
and for me.
He wasn't looking for the quickest way to relieve the pain, but he was willing to endure the pain in order to be obedient to the character and to the purpose and to the will of God and the work that he was doing in the world. And because of it all, you and I really can say, TGIF. Thank goodness it's Friday. And thank God for Friday. Friday, I'm in love. Why? It's because Friday is the day that darkness was redefined. And so the question for you to ask yourself today, the question I want to ask you today with whatever it is that might be happening or about to happen or just happened in your life, the question I want to ask you is, will you allow God to redefine darkness for you? What seems to be the darkest hour or the darkest season or the darkest moment or the darkest week or the darkest month or the darkest year or the darkest decade, it could very well be the brightest of new beginnings, of God's best for you. Let me pray for us. God, we're mindful of the significance of the time of year that we are, you know, slowly about to enter into. And God, so often these big time holidays, they certainly have our attention because of all the, you know, all the sales and the deals and the food and the shopping and the family and all the events, God. So certainly these moments in our life, God, Easter being one of them, and this weekend and this season that we celebrate, God, surely it gets our attention because the whole world is, you know, figuring out, you know, how we, you know, what we do on these days, God. But I pray this year something different might happen. I pray that this season, God, wouldn't just get our attention, but I pray that somehow you would get a hold of our heart in the midst of the period of time that we are entering into. And God, I know we're, you know, kind of taking things out of order, Good Friday, and everything is still to come, God, but as we move closer to these days and specifically to this weekend that changed the world, I pray that you might just do something to inside of us, God, to change us and to change how we see the world around us, to change how we see and experience and respond to the pain and to the darkness and to the difficult moments in our life. God, I pray that you would help us to see. God, would you give us eyes to see the ways that the darkness could be redefined in our lives? God, in the midst of whatever it is that is hard, would you be a reminder to us that you are with us in the midst of it, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the sorrow, and in the midst of the darkness? God, and would you light a way forward for us, no matter what it is? Thanks so much for this day and for your son, Jesus, and for the price that he paid for each and every one of us here today. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. Visit us online during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram.